So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Rama Gadhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I am present on the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association. Now you can start the class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text Number 23. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam Yadiyate Tatra Pumana Pavrita Sattve Chatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hi Adokshajo Me Namasa Vidiyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. Purport. The living entity is constitutionally pure. Asango hi ayam purushaha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. As soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that one is in his pure original constitutional position. This state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in this state, the activities of material consciousness stop. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes warm. And when red hot, although it is iron, it acts like fire. Similarly, when copper is surcharged with electricity, its action as copper stops. It acts as electricity. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. Mamcha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma vuyaya kalpate. Therefore, Shuddha Sattva, as described in this verse, is a transcendental position which is technically called Vasudeva. Vasudeva is also the name of the person from whom Krishna appears. This verse explains that the pure state is called Vasudeva because in that state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed without any covering. To execute unadulterated devotional service, therefore, one must follow the regulations, the rules and regulations of devotional service without desire to gain material profit by fruitive activities or mental speculation. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a matter of duty, without reason and without being impeded by material conditions. That is called Shuddha Sattva or Vasudeva. Because in that stage, the Supreme Person Krishna is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva or Shuddha Sattva in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that Ashtotra Sata is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva or in a transcendental state of Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudeva also means one who is everywhere or all-pervading. The sun is also called Vasudeva Shabditam. The word Vasudeva may be utilized for different purposes, but whatever purpose we adopt, Vasudeva means the all-pervading or localized Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Factual realization is to understand Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrender unto Him. Vasudeva is the ground wherein Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed. When one is free from the contamination of material nature and is situated in pure consciousness or in the Vasudeva state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person, is revealed. This state is also called Kaivalya, which means pure consciousness. Jnanam Sattvikam Kaivalyam. When one is situated in pure transcendental knowledge, one is situated in Kaivalya. Therefore, Vasudeva also means Kaivalya, a word which is generally used by impersonalists. Impersonal Kaivalya is not the last stage of realization. In Krishna consciousness Kaivalya, when one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is successful. In that pure state, by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., because of the development of knowledge of science of Krishna, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these activities are under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The action of the internal potency is also described in this verse as apavritaha, free from any covering. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name, His form, His quality, His paraphernalia, etc., being transcendental or beyond material nature, it is not possible to understand any one of them with the materialistic senses. When the senses are purified by the discharge of pure devotional service, Hrishikena, Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate, the pure senses can see Krishna without covering. Now, one may inquire that since factually the devotee has the same material existential body, how is it possible that the same materialistic eyes become purified by devotional service? The example as stated by Lord Chaitanya is that devotional service cleanses the mirror of the mind. In a clean mirror, one can see one's face very distinctly. Similarly, simply by cleansing the mirror of the mind, one can have a clear conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.8, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. By executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service, Chetasa Nanya Gamina, or simply by hearing about God and chanting about Him, if one's mind is always engaged in chanting and hearing and is not allowed to go elsewhere, one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, by the Bhakti Yoga process, beginning from hearing and chanting, one can cleanse the heart and mind, and thus one can clearly see the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva said that since his heart was always filled with the conception of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of the Supreme Lord's presence within his mind and heart, he was always offering obeisances unto that Supreme Godhead. In other words, Lord Shiva is always in trance, samadhi. This samadhi is not under the control of the devotee. It is under the control of Vasudeva, for the entire internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under his order. Of course, the material energy also acts by his order, but his direct will is specifically executed through the spiritual energy. Thus, by spiritual energy, he reveals himself. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Atma Mayaya means internal potency. By his sweet will, he reveals himself by his internal potency, being satisfied by the transcendental loving service of the devotee. The devotee never commands, "My dear Lord, please come here so that I can see you." It is not the position of the devotee to command the Supreme Personality of God to come before him or to dance before him. There are many so-called devotees who command the Lord to come before them dancing. The Lord, however, is not subject to anyone's command. But if he is satisfied by one's pure devotional activities, he reveals himself. Therefore, a meaningful word in this verse is adokshaja, for it indicates that the activities of our material senses will fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the attempt of one's speculative mind. But if one desires, he can subdue all the material activities of his senses, and the Lord, by manifesting his spiritual energy, can reveal himself to that pure devotee. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to the pure devotee, the devotee has no other duty than to offer him respectful obeisances. The Absolute Truth reveals himself to the devotee in his form. He is not formless. Vasudeva is not formless. For it is stated in this verse that as soon as the Lord reveals himself, the devotee offers his obeisances. Obeisances are offered to a person, not to anything impersonal. One should not accept the Mayavada interpretation that Vasudeva is impersonal.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita, prapadyate, one surrenders to a person, not impersonal non-duality. Whenever there is a question of surrendering or offering obeisances, there must be an object of surrender or obeisances. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam Yadyiyate Tatra Pumana Pavrita Satvecha Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hi Adokshajo Me Namasha Vidiyate. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text Number 23. The title is Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati. I am very, very fortunate to be in this forum of wonderful Vaishnavas to discuss about the transcendental subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter and this entire series of Daksha Prajapati is so interesting and informative and relevant for all of us that just by accepting the instructions given by the Supreme Lord, as well as Lord Shiva, as well as Srila Prabhupada through these chapters, we will be able to kill Daksha within ourselves. This particular verse, Srila Prabhupada has given such an elaborate purport. Probably one Bhagavatam class will be insufficient to discuss this. We will try our level best to churn the nectar today. This conversation between Lord Shiva and Sati is very intricate and to the point that any intelligent person who accepts this advice of Lord Shiva, especially in a Grihastha Ashram context, we have a lot more social stability. We will be able to gain. Lord Shiva is giving so many practical advices to Sati. The context is that Sati is desiring to go to the fire sacrifice being organized by Daksha. Already Lord Shiva was humiliated once, and the second time he was not invited. And at the same time, Sati being a natural by her natural constitution, she had a desire to go and join her father's function. But then on one side, her own husband is insulted and uninvited. On the other side, she has a natural affinity to go to her mother's place and father's place. So in that context, Lord Shiva is giving a lot of instructions. And he is explaining why she need not go there and what happens when she goes there, and is giving various bits of advices. I'm sure the other Bhagavatam speakers would have churned it and will be churning it more. So through this particular shloka, we are going to have some set of reflections and some set of lessons that we will learn, by which we can churn this and drink some nectar of Krishna consciousness. Some of these points that we are going to discuss I have been dealt in the past as well. But then when we are trying to consolidate some set of learning, let us put that in this context and kind of reiterate those points that we learned. So here Prabhupada talks about four different set of points, and through these four different set of points we will learn four or five different set of realizations. The first set of realization is about an acronym that I had shared in one of the earlier sessions about an acronym called LEARN. The word LEARN is very relevant to this particular shloka because the process of practicing Krishna consciousness is very nicely in a very interesting capsule Srila Prabhupada has given. So our first reflection is about remembering that acronym LEARN that we discussed in one of the earlier sessions. I'm not sure if you all remember that or if some of you had attended that before. So the acronym LEARN teaches about the progress of Krishna consciousness, and L stands for learning. So why learning? Because in Krishna consciousness, nothing is taught. It has to be through the process of submissive and service, we get to learn the Siddhanta. So, in Krishna consciousness, we can never go and complain. We can never go and try to raise a point saying that I was never told this. I have been in Krishna consciousness for the past 30 years. I never knew this. Nobody had told me this. Never heard this. So these are all not acceptable, because Krishna consciousness is all about how much we are eager, how much we are enthusiastic, how much we are submissive, how much we have service attitude, and through these four, how do we learn our Siddhanta. So management is doing things right. Leadership means doing right things. So we need not go and tell anybody that my leader did not teach me this. In my Bhakti Vriksha, nobody told me this. So the responsibility of learning is in the hands of the seeker, not in the hands of the person who is explaining. Because the previous set of verses in which Lord Shiva is speaking about his position and his disposition. So he is already very clearly clarifying he did not have any intention to insult Daksha, and he has already offered his respect. And he has clarified that by his conduct he was trying to not insult or not humiliate anybody, and he is internally offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord, and he is constantly in his Krishna consciousness. So anybody who is constantly in his Krishna consciousness, one of the first and foremost thing that he will exhibit and he will also expect it to follow is this principle of learning. So in the journey of our Krishna consciousness, we will never going again to complain anybody that I was not taught what is needed for my devotional life. Krishna consciousness is about learning by our relevant questions, by our service attitude, by our submissiveness, and by sincerely following in the footsteps of self-realized souls. If we try to learn, if we try to do this exercise of learning by asking relevant questions, we will be able to very nicely make progress, and naturally in the due course of somebody's journey in their Krishna consciousness, they will be getting access to the Supreme Lord. Because what happens is that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we have so many past understanding. Srila Prabhupada explains that as different ideologies, impersonal ideologies, we have different understanding about the Supreme Lord, that we tend to prejudice our spiritual journey in which we have our own understanding, our own interpretation of how the spirituality functions. That is why Srila Prabhupada very clearly says there's a significant difference between religiosity versus spirituality. Because in religiosity, you know, a lot of things that we might do sentimentally, but in spirituality, we do everything according to science. So if we have to follow through the science of Krishna consciousness, then it is better that we try to voluntarily accept this process of Krishna consciousness and surrender and learn. If we do not tune up our consciousness to learn, then we will continue to remain in ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada explains, to come to the stage of Vasudeva, to come to the stage of Brahman realization, to come to the stage of unadulterated devotional service, he says, Mamcha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. He says that sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. For us to come to the platform of Brahman realization or a stable Krishna consciousness, it is extremely important that we raise our consciousness to the position of Vasudeva. This word Vasudeva has been very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in this purport, where Srila Prabhupada explains the word Vasudeva means that anybody who raises their consciousness level to an extent that Vasudeva is revealed to that personality. For Vasudeva to be revealing, he needed to come to the platform of Vasudeva. That is why elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So in our first lesson of the first part is about learning. The second, in terms of E, the principle E in learn, is about how there are many things that we can say about it. But in our devotional journey, that we need to develop the consciousness in such a way that we are empowered. Like how, for learning, we need to take an endeavor. We need to ask questions. The spiritual knowledge is by seeking, but the opportunity and to come closer to the Supreme Lord and His dear devotees comes from empowerment. So devotional service is not something that we can claim. In Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada very clearly says, just because I am chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles does not give me an entitlement pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is purely subject to Krishna's sanction. Is purely subject to empowerment from the Supreme Lord. So empowerment comes from the authority. Learning has to come from us. So the more we learn, the more we are empowered. So empowerment for doing service, empowerment for, you know, being part of. So as Srila Prabhupada writes here, this coming to the platform of Vasudeva, coming to the platform of Jnanam Satvikam Kaivalyam, pure consciousness, coming to the platform of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, our job is to do the endeavor of learning. And when we learn, our spiritual master or our spiritual authority empower us and makes us eligible enough to get admission in the school of bhakti. To get admission in the school of bhakti, L was required. So L and E put together is going to give us the effect of A, which is called anartha nivritti. So if I am learning, if I am getting empowered, then the natural process next that is happening is my heart is going to get cleansed. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very interesting explanation Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives. He says, Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. He says, Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Lava Matra, he is very nicely explaining us, 1/11th of a second. If somebody associates with a sadhu for 1/11th of a second, then Sarva Siddhi Hoy. He says he gets all the spiritual potency. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, 1/11th, if somebody associates with a self-realized soul, he gets association of him in such a way that he will get another 1/11th of a second, another 1/11th of a second. Just that by being in that empowering association, his anarthas are getting cleansed. I had a realization of the converse of this. Lava Matra Asadhu Sange Sarva Buddhi Nash. So they both come together with respect to the principle A. Like how Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Hoy, you are blessed with all the wonderful things by 1/11th of a second of association for self-realized soul. Lava Matra Asadhu Sange. If somebody associates with 1/11th of a second to a greedy, envious, egoistic, materialistic person, Sarva Buddhi Nash, his all his intelligence get completely destroyed. So L, E, A, learning, empowerment and anartha nivritti makes us eligible to come to this platform of Vasudeva. And when it comes to the platform of Vasudeva, that's when R happens. What is R? Krishna reveals himself to us. So L-E-A-R makes it a very formidable combination. I learn. How do I learn? Submissively, sincerely, serving, and by asking relevant questions, I learn from a bona fide source. Looking at my sincerity and submissiveness, my spiritual master and Vaishnavas empower me with some opportunity to be part of the school of bhakti. And when this L and E happening, naturally A will happen, which is anartha nivritti, because of my lava matra association with sadhu and lava matra association away from the sadhu's association, because I realize that lava matra asadhu sange sarva buddhi nash, my anarthas is getting cleansed. And when these three things happens, then Krishna says that I reveal himself. So Srila Prabhupada writes the entire last paragraph of this purport, that how Krishna reveals himself. And Krishna cannot stop himself to reveal to us, because Krishna's internal potency is arranged in such a way, if anybody comes to the platform of Vasudeva, then naturally Krishna cannot control himself. That is why Bilvamangala Thakura in his Chorashtakam, he is very nicely singing. In the Chorashtakam song, he is singing, my dear Krishna, I am going to arrest you in my heart. I am going to tie you up in my heart in such a way that you will never be able to get released from this heart. He says, Manmanase Tamasa Rasi Gore Karagrahe Dukkha Mayeni Baddha. O stealer of my everything, O thief, today I have imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the terrible darkness of my ignorance. And therefore, for a very long time, you will remain receiving appropriate punishment for your crimes of thievery. So Krishna actually can't control himself after a point in time. And that point is L-E-A. Then Krishna starts to reveal himself. Krishna starts to uncover himself. Krishna starts to reside in that heart. Krishna starts to become our subservient. I was giving a class yesterday and we discussed this point. We surrender to Thakurji. Thakurji is Supreme Lord. We surrender ourselves to Krishna. And Thakurji directs us to Prabhuji. Prabhuji is devotees. When you surrender and serve that Prabhuji, this Thakurji come and reside in our heart and become our Das. So it's a very interesting, you know, cycle. I become Krishna Das. And when I become Krishna Das, I will naturally become Vaishnava Das. When I become Vaishnava Das, I get a title called Dasanu Das. When I become Dasanu Das, Krishna become my Das. And that's the irony of this Krishna consciousness. It's so interesting, the same person who wished to control us, ready to serve us, when we are ready to serve his servants. So Krishna says, Lord Shiva, who is considered as a Param Vaishnava, he is speaking in this sloka, this series, purely out of his own personal experience. The cycle that I explained is very nicely lived by Krishna, by Lord Shiva. That is why he is saying that I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Vasudeva in pure consciousness. And in that consciousness, Vasudeva is revealed without any covering. So our Krishna consciousness is a very good arrangement. I think I shared in one of the earlier classes. So hence, let us choose to get ourselves sandwiched between Supreme Lord and His dear devotees. Let us choose to become a football that one side, one person kicks us to the other person, and one side is Krishna, another side is Vaishnava. Let us get kicked between these two people. What will happen? We will naturally come to the platform of Vasudeva. And the last N is about Nishta. Firmly fix that. One moment Krishna reveals himself, then we get completely firmly fixed in our devotional life. It's called Nishta. Of course, there are further more, and that's not the context of today's discussion. So our first reflection is about the acronym LEARN. Learning commands empowerment. Learning and empowerment commands anartha nivritti. Learning, empowerment and anartha nivritti enables us to get darshan, or Krishna reveals himself. Because Krishna, like how spiritual knowledge cannot be taught, Krishna cannot be demanded. You can't demand Krishna to give his darshan. Krishna has to reveal himself. Till that point in time, we have to wait. Pantastu koti satavatsa rasam pragamyo vayo ratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapada chimnya vichintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo. Koti satavatsara sampragamyo. Munis, rishis are waiting for what? One moment of darshan of Krishna's tip of the lotus feet. And here, for Vasudeva people, Krishna is revealing himself. not only revealing himself, he is becoming their subservient to an extent they can threaten. Krishna, that I will bind you. Maybe Krishna willing, sometime in the future, if you know opportunity is availing, they can discuss a series of Krishna's special and unique devotees. That's a wonderful series. There are 5 devotees in that series, you know, we can discuss about. How Krishna accepts some uncommonly activities of the devotees and become their servant. These devotees, they are so much so in that level that their activities are actually not supposed to be imitated, but those activities are appreciated only because of their devotion, because they are the platform of Vasudeva. In these 5 devotees, 3 of them are South Indian Alvars or, you know, Sri Vaishnavas. Of course, we can talk about 50 more, but we have a series of 5 Vaishnavas and this one good series we are working on. One Alvar's name is called Tirumangai Alvar. He's one of the 12 Alvars. His devotional service is only by doing dacoity. There's another Alvar's name is called Andal Alvar. Every day she makes beautiful garland for Narayana. Before the garland is offered to Krishna, she used to wear them and stand in front of the mirror, check out if the garland is okay, then she used to give to the Lord. There used to be a disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya. This disciple's everyday's job is to make bedding for Ramanujacharya. Every day after he makes the bed, he used to sleep on it, lie down on it, before let Ramanujacharya do that. Sabari, before she offered her love of foodstuffs to Lord Ram, she used to honor herself first. So this series of Vaishnavas are the stage of Vasudeva platform that Krishna becomes Bilva Mangala Thakura. So these 5 personalities are such that there are many more. The reason they are being referred over here is they are always engaged in offering obeisances to the Lord, and their way of offering obeisances is by their deep love for the Supreme Lord. So hence our first learning in this sloka is about this principle, learn. Learning, empowerment, anartha nivritti, revelation and nishtha. Firmly fixed. The second realization is about raising our consciousness. For raising our consciousness, Srila Prabhupada writes about we need to come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. So he says, by our constitutional position, we are actually pure, but just that, because of our coming in contact with materialistic consciousness, we identify ourselves with this body, we try to get mugged up completely in the state of animalistic consciousness that we tend to forget our constitutional position. There is a very interesting English proverb, or you can say a quote that I heard, that those who stay near the railway station always miss the train. So this is because we as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the kind of involvement, inclination, interest that we showed in our earlier days of Krishna consciousness or in the beginning days of Krishna consciousness, we don't show after some development in our devotional journey. Here, Prabhupada writes about a basic point that we are not supposed to identify ourselves with our body. But I just want a little bit extrapolate, saying that we are not only supposed to not identify ourselves with our body, but you are also not supposed to get familiar and complacent in this process of Krishna consciousness, which will restrict our progress and stop us to come to the stage of Suddha Sattva. So the point is that since Suddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in this state the activities of material consciousness stop. So the cross questioning is that if we are coming in contact with the process of Krishna consciousness so much so that the chanting is directly Krishna himself, the chanting is directly transcendental, why we are still not able to make the necessary progress? Why are we still not able to, come closer? Because we are definitely coming closer to Krishna by our service, by our all those things, but still we are still in anartha nivritti stage. So for that, five important parameters have been identified. One is ignorance, which is what Prabhupada spoke about, where wrong identification of body instead of soul. But there are four more which elsewhere is referred, and we also spoke in the past, are familiarity, attachment to the knowledge that we gained, attachment to the opulence that we have received, and because of that, the ego that we have accumulated stops us or anchors us in becoming or coming to the platform of Suddha Sattva. So our realization, second realization is, we are not able to come to Suddha Sattva platform in spite of coming in contact with this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, in spite of having Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a process to chant, in spite of getting initiated, in spite of being in Vaishnava association, in spite of being in the Sangha of devotees, practicing and doing devotional service, still we don't claim ourselves to the platform of Suddha Sattva, and that's purely because somewhere or the other, we have just become theoretically competent, but we have not yet got into application. That's why we say anybody who is working into Krishna consciousness in complete conviction, they listen, they assimilate, they apply, and they preach. So today what is happening is, we are not doing all these four steps. We just listen and we try to assimilate, and we are hardly applying, but we directly jump into preaching. So this stage of adulterated Krishna consciousness will not let us elevate our consciousness to Suddha Sattva. Until we are Suddha Sattva, we can't get Vasudeva platform. Till we can't get Vasudeva platform, Krishna will not reveal himself to us. Till Krishna not revealing ourselves to us, we are going to come repeatedly stay here in this material world, hoping against hope. But Prabhupada always wanted us, in spite of having Krishna consciousness, if you are not able to make it to the spiritual world, we are the most unfortunate people. So the second reflection hence is that we need to raise our consciousness above these five vices. And we need to be careful about it. Ignorance, familiarity, knowledge, opulence, and ego. In fact, each one of these points, there are examples on how those personalities who got influenced by any one of them couldn't make it to Krishna consciousness. They may have Krishna consciousness look alike, but they would not be Krishna conscious, because Krishna consciousness would be a far-fetched dream for people who are either adulterated by ignorance or by familiarity or by over jnanic tendency or being allured by the opulence that they receive or becoming egoistic. The opulence here referred not only just money, It is also about followers. It is also about position. It is also about name. It is also about fame. So that is why Kunti Maharani says that, my dear Lord, please keep me grounded. In this chapter, Lord Shiva is explaining that to Sati, that who will be getting Krishna consciousness, who can receive devotional blessings. He is explaining either before or after. He is explaining that for somebody to receive devotional life, I think it is, he is explaining in the verse number, some shloka before or after, where he very clearly says that a person, one who is colored, one who is completely allured by materialistic opulences, including the education and the beauty and name and fame, they can't get Vasudeva. So he was trying to say that somehow, please don't get association of those people who are non-Krishna conscious. So if you go there just in the name of your family function, you will unnecessarily get contaminated, polluted by the consciousness. Rather, you stay back here and do devotional service. That was Lord Shiva's recommendation. So principle number two that we discussed today is that for us to raise to the Shuddha Sattva platform, we need to come out of these five parameters of ignorance, familiarity, and not get bogged down with only knowledge. Rather, we should get into application of knowledge. We should overcome from the opulence, propensity, and also ego. In Nectar of Devotion, there is one specific chapter, chapter 13, if I am right. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph of that chapter. He says, after practicing Krishna consciousness, one of the big obstacles for us in practicing Krishna consciousness is our knowledge. Because knowledge helps us to raise to a specific level. But the knowledge, unless it is applied, unless it is directed towards becoming devotees, this knowledge will become very, very detrimental, and this becomes a binding force. It becomes an obstacle. So Srila Prabhupada was very particular to say that knowledge is needed for our progress in Krishna consciousness, but knowledge should not be an obstacle. The reason why the devotees in Vrindavan are so much in love with Krishna is because their intelligence is not covered by knowledge. Their intelligence is illuminated by their love for Him. So that is about the second reflection that we have. The third reflection that Srila Prabhupada explains in the third paragraph about the internal potency and the power of the internal potency. He says the action of the internal potency is also described in this verse as apavritaha, free from any covering. And he says for this internal potency to reveal or to reveal Krishna to us, there's one word he says, abhyasa yoga yuktena. By executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service, chetasa nanyagamina, or simply hearing about God and chanting about. So this, what is this covering about? So there are 2 points I want to say here. So 3A, so the point number one of the third realization is, aho dukkham maha dukkham dukkha dukkha taram yataha kachartam vismritam ratna harir namaiva kevalam. It is explained that if somebody does not understand the holy name as our shelter, holy name as our benefactor, then what does the Kevalashtakam says? Aho dukkam maha dukkam dukkha dukkha taram yataha. That it is such a big disappointment. Reason is, kachartam vismritam ratna. Because of our materialistic propensity, because we just learned only theoretical knowledge, because we did not apply spiritual knowledge, what happened was that our heart has become so hard that
kachartam vismritam ratna. We try to understand that glass as jewel and jewel as glass. So kachartam vismritam ratna, such a person is considered as very, very unfortunate. Because this unfortunate situation we should not be, and we need to free ourselves from our covering, and that covering does, that covering is uncovered when we happen cheto darpana marjanam, that when we chant the holy name of the Lord. So the point here is, what Prabhupada explains is, abhyasa yoga yuktena, by executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service. So it is very natural that when somebody goes to a spiritual master and ask him for some direction, ask him for some, you know, service, the first thing the spiritual master has the rights to ask is, what about what was given to you before? So going back to Krishna and asking for mercy, going to Krishna asking for a solution is definitely irrelevant if we have not done what was already given to us. So the point number B, third B, what I want to share here was that in Krishna consciousness, definitely acceptance of Krishna consciousness is very rare and it is very, very nice. But more than acceptance, we need to learn to assimilate and ask relevant questions and develop reasoning so that we don't become sentimental. So that becomes really difficult. Acceptance was rare, but assimilating becomes difficult. But after all this difficulty, if somebody understood it, then he is considered as a very, very special devotee. Not everybody is brought in the category of special devotee. That's what Prabhupada writes. Atma Mayaya, the person who has received the mercy of Krishna's internal potency. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. For somebody to whom I will reveal is the one whose heart is completely purified, whose heart is all the coverings are removed. So today we have accepted and we are also discussing and reasoning. So we have finished the rare and difficult stage, but we need to understand, and that understanding stage is very, very special. And that speciality stage is what Lord Shiva is talking about. So he is explaining in this process of Krishna consciousness for us to develop the understanding, for us to develop the depth in Krishna consciousness, we need to do abhyasa yoga yuktena. Please abhyasa. Abhyasa means regularly, repeatedly performing our basic prescribed duties. I will give you a shocking revelation. This is a very arbitrary number that I am saying, but more than 50% of people in ISKCON, this is purely based on a sampling that I have done, have a fundamental difficulty even in practicing the basic sadhana, which is chanting Hare Krishna and following four regulative principles. And the interesting part of this, you know, sampling is, the reasoning given for that is that I am busy with some service. The reasoning that is given is, I am busy helping somebody else practicing Krishna consciousness. So what is being very clearly spoken about here is, when you are practicing Krishna consciousness, please see to that. The basics of Krishna consciousness are never compromised. Otherwise, all the other stories will collapse because it's a foundation. And that's the last, you know, that's the, you know, fourth point of third realization, which is that application is divinity. So, acceptance is rare, reasoning is difficult, understanding is special, but application is divine. And that is why we are becoming devotees. Otherwise, we will become a public speaker. So, as I mentioned, that you get accepting Krishna consciousness, and directly preaching is not what Srila Prabhupada is expecting. Srila Prabhupada wants all of us to come to the stage of Vasudeva. So, I will not be able to finish the fourth realization because we have already finished our 1 hour of the session. So, Krishna willing, in the future time, whenever we chant more, we can talk. So, to summarize our discussion today,
So we had three sets of realizations that we discussed today. The first set of realization is about the acronym LEARN, which means learning, empowerment, anartha nivritti, revelation by Krishna, and Nishta makes this whole Krishna consciousness Siddhanta very chronological and logical and sequential. The realization number two that we discussed there about how in Krishna consciousness to reach the Suddha Sattva platform, we need to elevate our consciousness from the current consciousness to the pure consciousness, and for that five obstacles are there and we need to overcome those five obstacles. They are ignorance, familiarity, knowledge, opulence and ego. So these five parameters, when we closely monitor, we will somehow or other able to raise our consciousness up and reach there, and with that state we will be able to easily reach the Suddha Sattva platform. And the principle number third that we discussed there about how we need to uncover, let the internal potency do the uncovering. And that third principle was split into two parts. Part number one is from Kevalashtakam we discussed, where it is explained kachartam vismritam ratna. We should make sure that we don't identify what is considered as illusion as reality and what is considered as reality as illusion. And the second part that we discussed is how Krishna consciousness is, acceptance of Krishna consciousness is rare, reasoning of Krishna consciousness is difficult, and understanding of Krishna consciousness is special, and application of Krishna consciousness is divine. And these 3A and 3B, Srila Prabhupada gives a solution that how Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, by regularly practicing Krishna consciousness in a very systematic, routine manner without any compromise or the quality of it, our Krishna consciousness uncovering will very steadily happen. Till that is going to happen, till we are so consistent on that, all the other things are going to wobble, and that will stop our journey to become to the platform of Vasudeva. There are more nectar that we can churn. As I mentioned, this one purport has got so many wonderful nectar pots that we can go on churning and drinking. I'm sure Krishna willing, in the future sessions, the speakers will help you drink more. I end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Janvat Pranam to your Seva. Such a wonderful class and such a wonderful association, Prabhu. You explained from all the realization principles and Harirnam, Kevalam. And it's amazing, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. So many points you covered today. Like we feel that we go sitting in the Gopinath and Senior Brahmachari is giving a lecture to us. Hundred and pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Gurudev Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji.
It's your humility that you are asking for a comment. We really, really relished and so many points you addressed. I want to just say something that the two points you they stand out, as you said that Krishna has to reveal himself. So there is no condition, no accomplishment on our own can suffice for Krishna to reveal himself. So it is by his own prerogative, and the attachment to knowledge. Actually, only when one becomes truly well-versed in the knowledge of the Vedas, then only he realizes or acknowledges that how utterly little he knows. And not only acknowledging and realizing, wow, to the unlimited, I'm simply a spark, not even a spark of the spark. So the attachment of knowledge becomes sacrifice, as Krishna tells Uddhava, Jnanam Che Mahi Sanyatah. But that happens only when one becomes blessed by the Vedas or the transcendental knowledge, because then only one can perceive the difference between the unlimited and the infinite primal size and the capacity we have. So, last point I wanted to say that on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, what happens that in spite of applying all these five principles which you said, still Krishna revealing himself is still missing. So a devotee on Shuddha Sattva, he cries out to Krishna, Vishaya Chhadiya, Kabe Shuddha Habe Mana, Kabe Hama Bujava Shri Vrindavana. Vishaya Chhadiya. So the paradox which shows that a person who is really means so pure, he cries out that he is impure because of that only Krishna is holding back. So he cannot tolerate the pain of separation, and then he just wants to disown all the wonderful things which are praised by others in the surrounding. So that attitude of crying out for Krishna and not becoming complacent and saturated and thinking that I got enough. We can never afford to think that we got enough mercy. The special mercy is yet to be achieved and cried out for. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you so much for the wonderful thoughts and realizations. Thanks for sharing it, Prabhu. I just want to read the first paragraph of Nectar of Devotion, chapter 14. That's called Devotional Qualifications. So there Prabhupada writes, some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually that is not a fact. Actually the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning. But ultimately they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. So thank you so much for your realization. I just want to mention, when I was talking about Shuddha Sattva, why I mentioned those five points were that we need to elevate ourselves above those five points and somewhere get to the position of developing devotional sentiment to an extent that I am sincere enough to purely serve the Supreme Lord. As I said, I had more realizations to share, but then due to the constraint of the limit of time, I did not want to get into that. So where Prabhupada writes in this purport, so many interesting points. But thank you so much for your comments. Any other questions or comments?
Gopinath ki jai ho.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Danda Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. Really very, very nectarian lecture, Prabhuji. very, very, you know, lot of checkpoints in the lecture. It's like very divine talk. Prabhuji, one question that it was pondering my mind. all the qualities that, you know, when we do the sadhana bhakti, we reach the Shuddha Sattva, Krishna reveals himself, right? But I just want to ask you, how is Maya, the illusory energy, is related at this Shuddha Sattva platform? Because I heard from the other lecture from Madhar Maharaj that even gopis can fall because of this illusory energy. Will it be there forever, Prabhuji, like even if Krishna reveals himself?
Okay. Yeah, I will not be able to comment on what Maharaj spoke because I do not know the context. But at least I'll tell a simple fundamental thing is, there are two points that I want to say. In this spiritual life, there are only two absolute truths. Rest everything else is Maya. Only the entire thing can be put in two absolute truths. One is Krishna, that is absolute truth. Second is Krishna's. Krishna is absolute truth because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything else belongs to him, that is why Krishna's. Anything that does not fall under these two categories, is called Maya. Maya by definition means that which is not. So what, when we will come under Maya? The moment we start to identify anything away from either Krishna or Krishnas, then we come under Maya. So in our devotional journey, the word Maya is used in different contexts. But the real understanding means Maya is not a, it's not just a personification or a some, you know, very demoniac, you know, feature that we are talking about. It is about a propensity, it is about an understanding that we hold of whom do we attach anything with. So I used to always mention this, Prabhupada, you know, gave in one class. If I walk by a Bank of America and I say, I renounce Bank of America, then that is called stupidity, because there is nothing for me to renounce there. And suppose if I walk by Bank of America and I say, this Bank of America belongs to me, that is also stupidity. So in this material world, we can neither claim anything as ours nor renounce, because nothing is ours. If I can neither claim anything as mine nor I can renounce, what am I supposed to do then? How am I supposed to deal? I can neither show attachment towards things nor I can show aversion. So what am I supposed to deal as a grihastha, as an individual, as a human being? How will I be able to function? So that's where the principle of, we need to understand, everything is provided to us by Krishna, which belongs to Krishna, to be kept in our care so that it can be utilized for Krishna. So it is like I am living in a rented house. Even though I call the rented house as my house, it still does not legally call it as my house. I have an understanding that I am living in this place for an agreed period of time. And during that agreed period of time, I need to take care of the house as if that house is mine. And when the time is ending, I need to hand over it back to the owner. Similarly, according to our karma, Krishna provides us with people, with resources, with infrastructure, with everything that we need in our life. And they are all given to us because they belong to Krishna. They are given to us on an agreed arrangement. So we need to make sure that all of them should be utilized with the context that they are meant for the Lord's pleasure. They are supposed to be taken care of in that context. And when we do that, naturally we will be relieved of the tension of Maya. The moment we start to think for a single moment in time that this belongs to me, that's when the problem of Maya starts. So to explain Maya in a regular context becomes very challenging. Otherwise devotees consider everything as Maya, and you know, we have a completely different arrangement, we categorize. I had this very funny realization when I was new in my Krishna consciousness. That time I was pretty young in my school days. I used to think my parents as Maya because they used to worship demigods. I used to consider my friends as Maya, because I used to consider many things as Maya, but actually Maya is not in them, Maya is in my, the way I behold. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami used to see everybody and offer his obeisances to them. In fact, this whole context of Daksha Prajapati is about how a devotee's consciousness is. The very two purports before this purport that we just read today, Srila Prabhupada explains how Lord Shiva saw Krishna in everybody. He looks at Paramatma in everybody's heart and he says how a Vaishnava functions. So in our devotional life, we need to understand Maya means that which is connected to yourself and not with and connected to Krishna, because that is called rascaldom. If I claim Lakshmi as mine and Narayana is not mine, then you will get into entanglement. If you claim Narayana as yours, then Lakshmi will naturally become yours, because Lakshmi resides in Narayana's heart. So Maya is a consciousness level, apart from all the other definitions of Maya, where we think that everything that I possess belongs to me. So we need to switch our consciousness to understand that everything that I hold, including my mobile phone, my body, my shirt, my car, my house, my wife, my children, everybody belongs to Krishna. They are Krishna's. And I am supposed to engage them in Krishna's service.
Am I making sense?
Definitely, very practical explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat. Any
other
questions?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, can you explain something more about assimilate, about the three A's, acceptance, about the principle, and the application is fine. What is the assimilate part, Prabhuji?
Okay. So, assimilation is about not being sentimental. Arjuna did not accept whatever Krishna said. Fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, fourth or fifth shloka. Fourth shloka, 4.4 Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna was told by Krishna that this knowledge was taught to sun god Vivaswan, Manu, Ikshvaku, the same knowledge has been repeated. Arjuna immediately asked this question, how is this possible that you and me are of the same age, we are together now, when and how you taught about this knowledge to Vivaswan, Manu and Ikshvaku? So this assimilation is dealt through some series of processes in our life. One of the processes of assimilation is about asking relevant questions. Assimilation means if in your Krishna consciousness journey you never had any questions, there is something seriously wrong. Because questions you generally get when you start applying. Suppose you have to apply for a visa to a particular country. When you fill the form, you may have 20 questions. Suppose you have to search for a bride or a bridegroom for your, you know, relatives. You have so many questions. If you want to take admission in a college, you have so many questions. Any time when you want to process an information that I received, one natural thing that happens is questions. So assimilation has got many stages. One of the stages or one of the part of assimilation is asking relevant questions. So assimilation actually means what I was told, I am not arbitrarily accepting. I am not trying to make it as ritualistic. I think last few weeks before, I spoke in the Chaitanya Charitamrita morning session, where the word spiritual is explained by Jnananda Goswami, you know, the Prabhupada's disciple, fantastically. He said spiritual, he divided into two parts. S-P-I, as Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And if you remove S-P-I from spiritual, it is called ritual. So he mentioned in our assimilation of Krishna consciousness that what you hear as Siddhanta in the Bhagavatam class, you go back home, apply it on yourself and see how do I, you know, how am I able to do this? So you'll naturally get questions. Oh my God, Prabhuji said this, but I'm not able to do this. Why am I not able to do this? So that there is more information shared. There is more realization is shared. It is like a small child trying to learn a particular topic. So assimilation actually means you try to absorb, you try to think more deeper on what you heard before you apply. You just don't apply just because you know you received some knowledge. So Krishna said, I am very dear to somebody who preaches. I heard a class, I just go out and preach and I think that I am preaching and a great devotee. That's something catastrophic. So please assimilate. That is why all the book distributors are expected to read the books while they distribute books. You just distribute books because very dear to Prabhupada, very nice. But that is only for first 3 days. Fourth day, better you read the books and also distribute books. So assimilation actually means going to the next level of what you heard. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Your answer is very much to the Siddhanta, question of understanding, application. Very appreciate you. You very humbly and gently reflected the question asked by Prabhu previously about the Maharaj speaking about gopis getting affected by Maya. The whole idea is when we speak our philosophy within the Siddhanta, then such even the thought of those who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even the thought that they become affected by Maya is very, very unpleasing to hear. So whatever may have been the context, but our Siddhanta is those who are in the Swarup Shakti atmosphere. There, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the influence of material energy is constantly applied. So there is no question that those who are absorbed in transcendence, for them everywhere they see Krishna. Any sound they hear, they think of Krishna. Everything reminds them of Krishna. So how where is the space and time for the material energy business? If devotees hear from devotees like you who speak within the Siddhanta of Vaishnava philosophy, then such a speculation and this confusing thing will not be heard.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Go ahead, Shankari.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Dandavat Pranam. All this to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very nice examples and reflection you give. I like the point when you said, like, so you made exactly opposite of that. That was really wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. I am victim of that every day, so I thought I'll just share that also.
Prabhuji, one more point. It's touched to heart that you explained that when we hear from senior Vaishnava, Shishi Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charanamrita, they just kick us in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Gopinath ki jai ho, dandavat pranam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can I ask one more question relevant to that?
Sure.
Yes. Like when we are speaking about not being sentimental and analyze and ask questions, so at many times, sometimes I feel that I just put faith on Prabhupada and I accept it. And that is why I will sometimes follow. And one point in time when someone asks me question, I'm not able to answer. So how to deal that?
Putting faith in the words of the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada is definitely important and vital. But understanding, misunderstanding or just sentimentally understanding their advice is catastrophical. Because Srila Prabhupada many times mentioned in some of the letters that one of the danger that I foresee in my movement is Srila Prabhupada said, okay? This Srila Prabhupada said is not just said, is I inferred. Half of the time we infer what Srila Prabhupada said and use our own interpretation. So it is even though it is bit, it takes extra energy, extra endeavor for us to get clarification. It is better to share and understand the Siddhanta, not just accept it just out of faith and respect. Of course, we are not challenging the authority, but we are definitely trying to get clarification. In fact, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are available with us not because of Krishna and Sukadeva Goswami. It is because of Parikshit Maharaj and Arjuna. The day Arjuna stopped asking questions, Krishna stopped. That is why this process of Krishna consciousness is process of learning, not process of teaching. So Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad Bhagavatam because of Parikshit Maharaj's questions, because of Naimisharanya sages questioned, because Vidura questioned, because of so many people asking questions, the nectar got churned. So it is sometimes out of shyness we may not ask questions, but definitely it is important that we ask questions not necessarily to challenge. And if you are completely convinced, you may even ask questions that I am convinced myself, but I do not know how to convince somebody else. Can you please help me? So that is itself a question. So the, and one very important point in asking question is sometimes, you know, because of this point, there are some devotees, every lecture they ask questions just because they have to ask questions. The principle is not to show off that I know to ask questions. The principle is to show that I am interested in learning. What is being told is meant for my purification. So for my purification, let me ask questions, what is relevant to me for my progress in Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, unless you progress, how do you let others progress? You cannot make anyone progress beyond you, because you can help only a person so much so that you have grown. So if at all we have to win more souls to Prabhupada, first let us win ourselves to Prabhupada. So the principle of asking questions is not some formality. The principle of asking questions is about sincerity. And yes, sometimes we may not have courage to ask in some specific forum, but please have a strong burning desire and write questions somewhere and keep them together, so that you may be able to ask somebody one-on-one. Krishna will give you a facility and encouragement to somewhere ask in some forum. Or if you have this question, Paramatma sitting in the heart will reveal you in future verses that you are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. But questions should definitely come, because question is a sign of intelligence. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. So our intelligence, if it is not there, Srila Prabhupada doesn't want us to be honest fools. Honest fool means I am very obedient. Whatever you say, I will do. And this person can easily be carried away by other allurements, which is a test by Maya. So if at all we have to be careful enough not to get allured, better we be prepared and have necessary ammunition to fight against such wrong propensity. So if you are not able to ask questions, please pray to Krishna, that Krishna, I would like to ask questions, not for showing off, but for getting clarification and get deeper into this understanding. And this is science, and this is not just arbitrary, you know, speculation. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, and Pranam. You have time for one more question?
Yeah, yeah, I have no problem.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class, wonderful realizations. So, question is based on that Sadhu Sangha verse. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that Asat Sangha Tyaga Ei Vaishnava Achara. So I was wondering, I mean, Vaishnava Achara, there are so many things, worshipping the Lord, chanting, or being, so many things. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one Vaishnava Achara is asat. I mean, if there is something that has to be told as a Vaishnava Achara, is it is Asat Sangat Yaga. So why is it that this summary given to Vaishnava Acharya, could you explain from it?
Actually, Asat Sangat Yaga Ye Vaishnava Achara is the inspiration for that realization that I got about Lava Matra Asadhu Sange Sarva Buddhi Nash. The reason is that if you see, because we are practicing devotees, we are still in a stage of Anartha Nivritti. So we are going through a purification of our anomalies. It is like I have suffering from cancer. My immunity in the system is very less. That what food I eat, what place I visit, what people I associate, what do I touch, what do I not touch, are very carefully monitored. If I am not diseased, we are not going to be very finicky about it. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, serious practicing, especially when we are in the stage of Anartha Nivritti, when I am cleansing my virus, I am actually in an ICU, intensive care unit. In an ICU, there are a lot of things that are restricted. The moment I am coming out of the ICU, then there is no problem that we will definitely be able to help and win more souls. Srila Prabhupada was in Bowery, where drug addicts and people with all, you know, notorious activities were there. But Srila Prabhupada could transform them. Haridas Thakur had a prostitute sitting next to him for 3 days and 3 nights. So we today are not in that consciousness. Hence, the first thing that, you know, what happens is that there's an English proverb, the feathers of the bird flock together. Correspondingly, our consciousness today not being so highly Krishna conscious, our natural inclination will be towards our conditional propensity, which is materialism. So a Vaishnava or a person who is interesting to become a Vaishnava, if his consciousness is still not fully purified, if he associates with materialistic person, his rest of all the endeavor that he has done will be challenged. And when Mahaprabhu mentioned about this, about Asat Sangat Yaga, he says in Asat Sangat Yaga, one of the very important points that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining about hearing abusive about the Lord and his dear devotees, because they are so detrimental. In Kali Yuga, any other aparad, any other sinful activities, it has got a different impact on us. In the previous Yugas, if I think of stealing from somebody's house, if I think of killing or murdering somebody, I will be given punishment. But in Kali Yuga, understanding our fallen condition, Shastra allows us some leeway, where in Kali Yuga, unless I do the activity, I only think about it, I am not directly punished. I may have a, you know, propensity, but I am not directly punished. If I think of murdering somebody, I am not given the sinful effect. But if I think of committing Vaishnava Aparad, if I hear about Vaishnava Aparad, if I hear about something demeaning about the Supreme Lord's transcendental position, then my consciousness directly stoops too low. And which generally happens in Asat Sangha Tyaga. In Asat Sangha, I mean. So, and second thing that happens in Asat Sangha is 4 regulative principles are broken. So, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, when 4 regulative principles are broken, then you can't elevate your consciousness to Shuddha Sattva platform. And hence, this is considered as a primary. So, it is like, I have received the seed, I am watering it, my ground is tilled very nicely. All those things are great. But so long as there is no fence, all this endeavor becomes, you know, futile. So, you have already become a Vaishnava. So, the only fence is Asat Sangha Tyaga. So, unless that fence is put, your Bhakti Lata is going to be eaten up by some, you know, stray or some people, you know, who is passing by your life, doesn't have the interest in Krishna consciousness. So, Asat Sangha Tyaga is like a fence to your Bhakti Lata Beej. Once that fence is there, your Bhakti Lata Beej is safe. Am I making sense?
Yeah, very, very nice, Prabhuji. Very nice, wonderful example. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Very wonderful. What the explanation. That's why, can I say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why it says Chaitanya Sada. Now, Vaishnava practice, whatever we do good, but what we do other than that, that is actually very critical.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, your voice is not audible. Can you come close to the mic?
Okay. What I'm saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So, whatever we do in Vaishnava etiquette and achar, that is alright, but the critical thing is what we do when we are not doing Vaishnava achar. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the slogan, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Unless we protect ourselves 24 hours, it's so bad that one moment of Asat Sangha can drag us down. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Asat Sangha Chadi Hai Vaishnava Achar. Whatever Achar we do, that is all right, but the one more thing has to be also protected. That Asat Sangha we don't go in the name of that 24, 23 hours, I go also Asat Sangha. But 1 hour, if I allow for a little reckoning, it can just completely fall. Thank you very much for your efforts. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
And Prabhu, I have a question regarding that you got to please say. The Prabhupada said, many times the devotees in our society, they like to quote Prabhupada said in order sanctifying their understanding or responding. And the Prabhupada saw this danger. Because Srila Prabhupada said trillion things to his wife, trillion things to his son and merchants and different people he dealt. So the context is be very, very off. That's why even disciples of Srila Prabhupada tells, oh, my Guru has told me this, helps me better. So in our present generation, if we got what my spiritual master told me, you know, that would be more relevant than we are quoting Srila Prabhupada. Then why not quote Krishna? Because Krishna's knowledge is absolute, everything is fixed. And Srila Prabhupada had to deal with so many relative problems. And sometimes people, devotees think, oh, Prabhupada said this, so it's the absolute knowledge. No, the context is completely different. So Srila Prabhupada is for us like Krishna. You know, if we are quoting Srila Prabhupada, left and right, but it has to be affirmed. When we talk about spiritual subject matter, it has to be confirmation with what Krishna says in Gita and Bhagavad. That way we will glorify Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah. I have a small comment on that, or a realization on that, is that Srila Prabhupada said books are the basis, not letters are the basis. What happens is that many times we refer Srila Prabhupada's letters to specific devotees. Many times Srila Prabhupada's morning walks as references. They are all very good references, and as you rightly mentioned, they have a context. Suppose somebody walks inside a room and the counselor speaking to a counselee saying that, tomorrow onwards you smoke 7 packets of cigarette or 7 cigarette. He may say that, how come a counselor can encourage somebody, smoke 7 cigarette? You wouldn't even know the context, that because this other guy would be smoking 25 cigarettes. Maybe he would have discussed in the, for the past half an hour before you walked in that, it's not good. So maybe you can reduce it and come down to whatever number. I have a very interesting, story that I read. One devotee went to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, he said that, Srila Prabhupada, I want to divorce my, wife. So Srila Prabhupada said that, sorry, I can't allow you to do that. So there was a big debate and argument happened between Srila Prabhupada and the devotee, and the devotee has kept on saying that how he cannot live with his wife. And finally, at the end, Srila Prabhupada says, all right, you can go and divorce. So this devotee went, and all the other disciples assembled there. They asked Srila Prabhupada, how come you allowed somebody to do divorce? You are so against it. So how come you did that? Srila Prabhupada said that this person made up his mind to anyway divorce his wife, whether I agree or not agree. I just want to stop him from another grave offense of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. That's why I have to at least say it, so that at least his spiritual life is intact. So many times people may not understand the context of certain things and, quote Srila Prabhupada, which Srila Prabhupada himself was very concerned about. So I completely agree that referring to Srila Prabhupada said is something to be very carefully used, and that's why Prabhupada used the word books are the basis, because Prabhupada says that every line of word, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna dictated him. So the words of Krishna has come to us through Srila Prabhupada, and hence his books are our basis. And anytime you want to quote in general context, let us refer his books. And definitely his letters and morning walks and conversations could be used as some contextual understanding rather than basis. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your thoughts and sharing.
It's such an important thing. That's why when we quote,
yes,
then it is absolute knowledge. Just one reference, I quoted a few weeks ago. There's a shloka in Srila Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, 5th chapter, I don't know the number. The shloka is, Okay, Vivaya, Vishupatya, Seva, Ityahi, Tatko, Satracha, Udhata. There was 50 spiritual Vivaha, Yatke, Sura, Grahe, Rasmi, Vishti, Ishta. The Srila Bhagavatam says that all the penances in for executive principles, there is no like a shortcut or the any cut. It is 3 years from the complete the ascendancy for the material enjoyment in the name of marriage or the sexual relationship or the meat eating or the intoxication. So there is not that the Prabhupada so wonderfully saved that disciple that, okay, he is going to divorce, so let me not make him not disobey the master. But the purpose, when we quote Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam says, yes, free yourself completely from its tendencies, which are its tingling tendencies. You cannot afford to use Srila Prabhupada to justify our unfairness.
Yes. Thank you so much. Any other questions, comments? I think we stretched a bit long today.
Thank you for so much time, Prabhu, available making.
Oh my God, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be in the Association of Vaishnavas and speak Srimad Bhagavatam.
I think you made us realize that everybody is a Vaishnava except me.
Oh my God. I don't know what to say. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, we can end the session. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Bol Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.